Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Joshua. This is chapter 17, and there are 18 verses in this chapter. And also, we're going to be doing a little reading from the third gospel, which is Luke, the 17th chapter, and verses 1 through 10, so you can begin preparing your Bible to follow along with it. I want to, in these scriptures, show a people that slavery is of the Lord. Do you believe that slavery is of the Lord? Do you think it's good to have slaves? Well, nobody's answering because, you know, you figure I've got a trick thing going here. Is that right?
Yeah.
Don't you know that you're supposed to have something that will say yes, boss, to you? Yes, boss. Amen?
Amen.
And we do. That is an absolute. You've got to have a slave. Everybody must have one. Amen? Hey, boy, I mean, it's just people give me all kinds of looks in this room here, but I'm going to prove it to you in chapter 17 of Luke. It talks about a man that's working out in the field all day long. He's the slave. And the King James Version says servant, but a servant is different than a slave. A servant, you can hire a servant. They go come to work and they get to go home whenever they want to, you know, after an 8-hour period of time or whatever they agree that they're going to work. But a slave is somebody that has to be with you whenever you want them. Now, this chapter talks about a slave that's working out in the field for his master all day long and feeding the animals on top of it. And the master, the bossum, says when he comes in, he wants him, after he'd been slaving out there in the field and also feeding the horses and the oxen and all that stuff, now that you've come in here, I want you to fix my supper before you eat. And I want you to set it down before me and so I can eat first. And then after I eat, it's all right for you to eat. Okay? Slave? All right? That's what slave is. Amen?
Amen.
Now, today, we have a lot of people that think, well, I've got a servant, and we've got to give them old age benefits, and we've got to do this, and we've got to give them a hospitalization and this kind of thing. And when they come in, we've got to give them 15 minutes break or an hour break or something like that. And there has to be some of the right kind of temperature inside the house or the workplace or wherever they're working. And in other words, everything is for the slave today instead of for the bossum, the master. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And the master's going broke. You're very quick. And then also, too, you got to let the slave say, well, you've been working out in that field all day long. And, you know, feeding the cows and the horses and all that. And so you come in and rest, and I'll fix the supper for you. Okay? And then you sit down and I'll eat later because you've just been working your fool head off. But according to the scriptures, that's wrong. Okay? And if you're a son of God, then everything, if you're a body of Christ, then everything is under your subjection. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then how come you were wincing your face when I was talking about everything is your slave? I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying everything is your slave. And the actual slave, we're the slave master, and our slave is faith. Faith is in this chapter of Luke. It talks about if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that by faith to that tree that it has to do what you want it to, that it be uprooted and then cast into the sea and planted in the sea. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so faith is like if you really believe that you're a son or a daughter of God, then you have faith at your command to make faith do whatever you want faith to do. Amen?
Mm.
And when you've been working in the gospel field, or you're having faith work in the gospel field for you all day long, and you want something to eat, you want to say to with faith, I want something to eat now, okay? And I want it set down before me before I'm going to let faith rest, or in other words, before I'm going to go to sleep. Do you understand? Okay. So faith has to do, if we have it, what we want it to do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I want you to start reading those scriptures. Father, bless the reading of the scriptures so that people will understand. Open up everyone's spirit and let them hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And we, individually, combine corporately with the Church of God, but we are individual churches or rooms wherein the Spirit of the Lord lives, and we're condemned for not using faith. By faith as our slave, we're saved. But by doubting that we have faith, we are, and that we have a slave, we're damned. All right? And if people resent that, then you resent God. And let me tell you something, God resents you too. And so it's not going to do anybody any good to resent what I'm saying here, because what I'm saying is the absolute truth. So let's start. Father God, we ask that you open up by faith, I take it that you're going to, and I'm going to be anointed right now, and that everyone's ears are going to open now, and by faith, they're going to receive what you've intended for them to have, so that the true work of the Lord can start beginning to happen on earth now. Right now, no later, in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
The Spirit, by faith, we walk by faith. And so the Spirit of God came down upon Jesus when he was being baptized. And he, by faith, he did what the Spirit was telling him to do. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Spirit wanted him tried. Out in the wilderness by Satan to show the world that Jesus had the faith and God had enough faith in Jesus as a man that is a slave or a slave of the Lord to use the Spirit as the Lord, as a slave of God. God wants us to be his slave, to use slave faith that we have to do the work that he's told us to do. And he wants us to use faith to the extent that miracles will happen, so that people can see that there's a work of the Lord on earth. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's that's a good, the best slave that you could ever have. If you're a good slave of the Lord, is that you're going to use the slave that the Lord has provided for us, which is faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Now, if you believe the word of the Lord, then you'll believe that you're a son of God and that everything is under your feet. Amen?
Amen.
And that faith is something that God wants you to use as a slave. He wants you to use faith. Amen?
Amen.
He says, speak to that tree over there, that sycamine tree, and it'll be uprooted if you want it to, and be planted in the sea. Amen?
Amen.
So faith is the slave that will do that. Amen?
Amen?
But if you don't have that slave, which is faith, then you're not even saved. All right?
Amen.
So that slave saves your soul. And that slave lets you know that all the things of God have already been provided for you. Amen?
Amen?
Salvation. Healing of every kind. Prosperity. Amen? And do you remember the other? Victory. Amen?
Amen?
And every miracle on the face of this earth. It's already been provided, providing you use the slave, faith, to get it for you. Now here's the scriptures to prove it. Verse 1.
Then said he.
Chapter what?
17.
Of Luke, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Verse 2. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones.
Okay, so how could you offend one of the little ones would be that you don't have faith to believe that they are the children of the Lord, and that you don't have faith to believe in God, and that's very offensive to me. And so, like, if you should offend me by not believing thy testimony, by believing that I'm a son of God and that I'm really a part of the body of Christ, well, then you're an offense. And it's better that a millstone would be hung around your neck, hanged around your neck, and that you be cast into the depths of the sea. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this, the Lord says, this is this chapter here, the first part of it is talking about having a faith as a slave, your slave. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Holy Spirit will honor what the Holy Spirit says that you should have if you believe that you have it. Now, if you believe you have faith, then start using it as a slave. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
To get what the Lord wants you to get. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 3. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him.
Okay, so there, it doesn't take much faith or exercise of faith when you see somebody raising somebody from the dead. Or you, if I call out to the Lord when it's raining and I don't want it to rain, and I use my faith to the Lord to say, Lord, stop the rain, and you see it happening. Then you say, well, okay, right now he's with the Lord, because you're an up and down type person. One day you doubt, the next day you have faith, and one day you doubt. You're actually a mess is what you are. And then you see me praying for somebody, and they get healed instantly. And so it's no big deal for people, the disciples, to have seen Jesus raise the dead, because they saw it all the time. But there is something here that takes far more faith. You have to use the slave more for what he's going to be talking about, to forgive somebody 7 times a day. But then later he says 7 times 70 if you're offended. If someone offends you and then they come and ask for your forgiveness. And that takes more faith. And that's why the disciples says help or increase our faith. Amen? Because it didn't say anywhere in the Bible where he was raising people from the dead. They never said increase my faith then. So it actually takes more faith to, you have to use the slave of faith more to actually forgive one another, because that you think is not important. But these disciples knew that if they don't obey the Lord in everything, that they become witches, because disobedience, the sin of disobedience, is the same as witchcraft. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so when he tells you that you have to forgive one another, and that you can't be a backbiter, and that you can't tell false stories, you can't lie and cheat and steal, and all the other things that the Lord tells you not to do, to be a busybody, a murmurer, a complainer, or somebody that, you know, is like constantly, they lie to you, and then they don't even ask for forgiveness. But if they do, see, that lying to you is a sin. That's a sin that they have to get forgiveness from the Lord, because the Lord says that if a person sins by lying, they're going to go to hell in the lake of fire. Lying is a cardinal sin, because nobody can trust a liar. And you've been called to be a witness in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday I wanted to do this chapter, but the Lord checked me. And I wasn't prepared, so I was obedient. I didn't do it to try, because I was a couple of tapes behind. To do it then, I said, the Lord doesn't want me to do it now. He wants me to do it now. And you can tell that he wants me to do it now, can you not?
Yes.
Amen? Because I didn't have this message yesterday. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so you have to be obedient to the Spirit, so that the Spirit will not be offended when you ask the Spirit to heal this deep person in the name of Jesus. And stop the rain, Father God, in the name of Jesus. or close the heavens, Lord, stop it, or open the heavens and let it rain. Or, Lord, we need finances, send finances in the name of Jesus, and I know it's going to happen because faith, my slave, is gotten to the Lord, and he knows whether I've got the faith to believe it or not. And then if I do, which I do, he's going to give it to me. Amen?
Amen.
The enemies come against me, Father. Come against the enemies. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, give everybody, you've already given everybody in the church faith. Lord, let them begin using it as their slave. But before they can start using it, they have to stop lying. They have to stop busybody, usurping authority, all these things, because that shows everybody that they don't have faith. Amen? That shows that you are a witch, is what it shows everybody, is that you're a witch and that you don't have a slave. That you're the slave of the devil is what it's showing everybody. Amen?
Amen?
But the Lord wants you to be his slave and to use the instruments that he's given you to be able to do his work here on earth. And he gives us faith, and that's what he's talking about here. So let's continue on.
Verse 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him.
Oh, my goodness. 7 times in one day we got to forgive this brother or this sister? Not if they sin. I mean, if they offend you. Sin is one thing. If they come up to you and say they want to, I'm making a very long statement short, if they were lusting after you, or if they are like wanting to have sexual relationship with you, or if one of them wants to have a lesbian affair with you, then that's not a brother or sister anyway, or the homosexual or something, that you don't have to say I forgive you at all. Those sort of people get thrown out of the church because they're sinners. And they, if they're going to repent, they have to get a hold of the Lord. But if someone personally offends you by usurping, like a man is in the church and they just didn't, maybe they put their foot on your chair or something and didn't realize that they were doing it. Or maybe somebody found one of your items, like if you're one of the sisters and they found it, like a bow that you put in your hair or something, they took it and they were using it. And they didn't think it was stealing because they thought they found it or something like that. That's quite another situation. Or, you know, there's a million and one different offenses, but sin is sin. The Bible illustrates what sin is. Amen?
Amen.
Murder, if you're an abortionist or if you are having an abortion. Fornication, adultery, lesbianism, homosexuality, lying, stealing, not loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You don't have faith if you're breaking all the commandments. You don't have a slave to do the work of the Lord. Because in order to do the work of the Lord, you have to have faith. By faith we're saved, and not of ourselves, but it's the gift of God that he gives you that tool of faith, and everybody's been given a portion of faith. Amen?
Amen.
So we already have the faith. But the slave, we already have it, but a lot of people don't use the slave because they figure, I don't feel like a master because I'm a sinner and I feel an inferiority complex. And I have acne from being so self-conscious and all the time, because I know, like, I sin all day long and I lust and all these things. And so, therefore, I don't have the faith to say, depart from me, you devil out of hell. Amen? Or depart from them, you devil out of hell. Or, Lord, raise this person from the dead. Or, Lord, heal this person. Cast the devils out of this person. You don't have that slave to use the Spirit as the Lord wants your faith to use His Spirit in this world today to show the people of the world that there is a work of the Lord on this earth. All right, so are you saying, now, faith is, I'm the bossum of that faith. Amen? I'm the master. If you think that having a slave is wrong, then you're wrong. Amen? Because without faith, you're not saved. Without faith, you cannot be healed. Without faith, you cannot have anything of the Lord, from the Lord. So you, if you've been given a portion of faith, and you're going to have to start remembering. You have to remember that you're a Christian. You can't be hearing this message and then walk away from the mirror of it and forget what manner of person you are, because then you're not going to exercise your faith to get the work of the Lord done. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to first remember that you're a part, a member of the body of Christ, and that everything is under Christ. He's put everything under His feet. Amen?
Amen.
And so if everything, if I'm part of Christ and everything is under my feet, then watch out. Don't try to step on me. All right. Amen?
Yes.
Because that won't work. Because I know who I am. Amen?
Amen?
I'm a son of God. Now, if you're a son of God, then that means you're saved. And if you're saved, you're saved by faith. Amen?
Amen.
And if you need healing, use the same faith that you got saved with to get your healing. Or if you need anything, use your slave faith to receive whatever you use. Ask and receive. We know that, why should we ask already when we know that we already have it? Just say, Lord, I know that I already have healing, and so therefore I receive it, and I thank you for it. I thank you for providing me with that healing. I thank you for providing me with prosperity, but first of all, salvation. And I thank you for having given me victory over the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I thank you for giving me victory of this, and I thank you for giving me remembrance that I am a son or a daughter of the Most High, and that I have the victory over my own flesh. And people that don't have it or don't want it, they just want to still be the same way they are, you're not a Christian. And it doesn't look like he ever will be. Okay, so let's continue reading.
Verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith.
Now, they never said that when he did any other miracle, did it?
No.
When he, or gave them any other instruction. He's given them instruction to do that, forgive each other 7 times there. Amen?
Amen.
For offenses. And they never said, oh, God, increase our faith so that we can accomplish this, because the Lord is never going to ask you to do anything heavier than that. That's the heaviest thing that the Lord, and yet it's the simplest thing, and yet the people's pride, that's what the Lord wants to get rid of in you, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the big one, the pride. The pride of life. Amen?
Amen?
And so that's the toughest one. Because everybody, especially today, they say, why, we have credit cards, we can have anything that a king could have. Why, King Solomon never had an automobile, we got 2 of them. As a matter of fact, we've got credit, we could get 3 or 4 or 5 of them if we wanted to. We've got a house, and our house has air conditioning and heating in it. And the President of the United States doesn't have any more better air conditioning than we do. Or a better car. I mean, if he has a better car, we could get one too. And so everybody feels like King Tut or Queen Elizabeth, or, you know, they just feel, everyone feels that they're with this pride. They feel that they're really somebody. And you ain't nothing, according to the Lord. All you are is flesh, lust, and pride. You're the world, just like everybody else. Okay, and then what?
Verse 6. And the Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard.
He's talking about faith here, amen?
Amen.
Now, if ye have the faith of a grain of mustard, he doesn't switch subjects here. Faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to what?
You might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea.
Be plucked up by the roots and planted in the sea. If you just had the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Now, a grain of mustard seed, if you put it in your fingers like that, you can't even hardly know there's anything there. That's how small it is. You might even have one on your eyebrow and you wouldn't know it was there. Or in your mustache. Or possibly sitting on the ball of your nose. Or the hook of it. Amen?
Amen.
Right, then what?
Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you.
As a slave. Everything is your slave. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that what it's saying?
Yes.
Your slave says, yes, a boss. Bossum. Amen?
Amen.
Or, yes, a bossum. Okay? I mean, if you're my slave, you better say yes, a bosun. Amen? Because I believe in slavery. I believe that faith is my slave, and I use my slave. If you don't, well, you know, then you're damned. The Lord wants you to use it, or he's going to damn you. Now, how's that? Okay? You don't believe in slavery? Well, then that's on you, pal. Or a pally. All right? But I happen to be a master. I am a son of the Most High God. According to the Lord, that I have a slave. And I have used that slave many times to heal people. But it's the Lord that does the healing. That's right. But it's by my faith. When I'm praying for somebody, and their faith too, if I can instill that faith by the preaching of the word into their spirits, if you believe what I'm teaching you, then you have faith too. But if you forget it tomorrow, then the faith is going to leave you. Amen?
Amen?
I mean the confidence in the faith of that you have this slave to go to work for you all the time. Even when you're before they eat, before you let it rest, you want something to eat too, and so you do it. Now, all kinds of people have faith. You have faith. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
When you lie down on the bed, do you believe that the bed's going to stay, not going to cave in on you? Amen?
Amen?
You get in the car, you believe it's going to steer you, and you're going to drive you down the street? Right?
Yeah.
That's faith. Amen?
Amen?
That's a different kind of faith. It's faith in man. And then you have faith if you get on an airplane. And you've got more faith in man than I do if you get on one.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because the Lord said, lo, I am with you. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And you have faith to go over to the door and open it up, and it'll open. Amen?
Amen.
And if it doesn't, well, you can kick it down. You have the faith to do that. You're going to get the door open. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're in jail. Right? Then you've got faith to believe that you're not going to open the door. Only God can open that door for you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so, I mean, we're talking, that's manly, worldly faith. But faith in the Lord is able to open the doors, as he did for Paul and Silas. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
Verse 7. But which of you having a servant...
Okay, which one of you having a servant? Then what?
Plowing or feeding cattle... will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat.
Yeah. Will you say to your servant, you go and eat, sit down and eat first? Will you? If you did, or your slave, then that wouldn't be a slave. You'd be his slave. Amen?
Yeah.
This statement doesn't make any sense in you unless you believe it's talking about faith as being your slave. Right?
Right.
Why would this statement mean anything at all? It doesn't mean anything if you don't believe that the faith is your slave. All right?
Yeah.
Okay, then what?
Verse 8. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself.
Yeah, now, yeah. I'm not going to feed you first. You're my slave. I'm the boss. You're the slave. Now, yes, or would you rather do this? Well, you sit down and make him feed you first. Lay at the table, then let him rest. Okay, go ahead.
and will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink.
Verse 8. Okay, keep going.
Verse 9. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him?
Do I, after faith, has done what I wanted to do out in the field and did what I wanted to feed me and everything, am I going to thank that servant?
No.
No, because the Lord has commanded me to use that slave. Amen?
Amen.
Why should I thank it? I'll thank the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That he gave me such a slave. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
I trow not.
That's old English for saying, I think not. I don't think so. Amen?
Amen.
I don't think so. Okay, then what?
Verse 10. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you.
Yeah, when you do all the things which are commanded you, that means you got saved, you have the faith to heal people, preach the gospel to people, you're laying hands on people and they're being healed, you're praying for them, you're using faith, you need something, you ask the Lord for it, you're praying to him without ceasing for the faith. After you've done all these things, go ahead.
Say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.
Yeah. Like, in other words, we're the Lord's servants, but faith is our servant. Because the Lord called us to use faith. Amen?
Amen.
Not to serve faith, but to use faith. Amen?
Amen.
To use our faith. To serve us, which is, we are the body of Christ. Well, don't you think you're puffed up? No, I don't. Either I'm a member of the body of Christ, or I'm not. And if I am, by George, I'm going to use all the things that the Lord has given me. Amen?
Amen.
And I thank him for it. Because there's a lot of things that this world is going to do to discourage you. The devil cannot kill you or do anything to you. The Bible says he could kill you. That is if you don't listen to the Lord. But the devil, the only weapon he really has is to lie, to discourage you from using your faith, from using your slave. Who do you think you are using a slave? Why, we live in a kissy, take care of slave type society today. That's the culture, amen?
Amen.
But the Lord's culture is use your slave. Amen?
Amen.
Now, he's not talking about mankind, he's talking about faith. To move mountains with. Amen?
Amen.
And everybody has mountains in their life that need to be removed. And don't be begging the Lord. He's already provided you with a portion of faith, and all you need is one fraction of it to be able to say to this yonder sycamine tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea, or any mountain to be removed. So much for that. And now we go into Joshua, the 17th chapter, as we're reading through the Bible. And Father, open up the ears of everyone. We know that you've given us faith. Let everyone in faith receive every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God, for that we're saved not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your word, from your mouth. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Joshua chapter 17, the land that was given to West Manasseh. King James Version, verse 1. There was also
it was given to West Manasseh, you know? They didn't earn it. It was given to them. The land of milk and honey. The kingdom of heaven for us. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? See, we're like them wandering around. We don't have any certain dwelling place like the children of Israel were given.
So that means that we're strangers in this world. We're just passing through. Amen?
Amen.
But we do have a certain dwelling place that is not here. It's in the kingdom of heaven. All right?
Amen.
It's in the kingdom of heaven. Providing that we get there by faith. By our slave. Okay, then what?
There was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, to wit, for Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war. Therefore he had Gilead and Bashan. Verse 2. There was also a lot for the rest of the children of Manasseh, by their families, for the children of Abiezer, and for the children of Helek, and for the children of Asriel, and for the children of Shechem, and for the children of Hepher, and for the children of Shemida. These were the male children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, by their families. Verse 3. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but daughters. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahla and Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Verse 4.
Every one of the stories in the Bible is of people's lives and has our lives are very are they exactly the same one way or the other. And so this is how we learn how to live life, is by learning all these things, and so that we can be obedient to the Lord by faith, to receive what he says, so that we can receive the things from the Lord that he wants us to have. Then what else?
Verse 4, and they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father. Verse 5. And there fell 10 portions to Manasseh, beside the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side Jordan. Verse 6. Because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his sons, and the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead. Verse 7. And the coast of Manasseh was from Asher to Mephah, that lieth before Shechem. And the border went along on the right hand unto the inhabitants of En-Tappuah. Verse 8. Now Manasseh had the land of Tappuah, but Tappuah on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim. Verse 9. And the coast descended unto the river Cana, southward of the river. These cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh. The coast of Manasseh also was on the north side of the river, and the outgoings of it were at the sea. Verse 10. Southward it was Ephraim, and northward it was Manasseh, and the sea is his border. And they met together in Asher on the north, and in Issachar on the east. Verse 11. And Manasseh had in Issachar and in Asher Beth Shean and her town, and Ibleam and her town, and the inhabitants of Dor and her town, and the inhabitants of Endor and her town, and the inhabitants of Taanach and her town, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and her town, even three countries. Translation, verse 1 through 11. The land that was given to West Manasseh. The next allotment of land was given to the half tribe of Manasseh, the descendants of Joseph's older son. Gilead and Bashan on the east side of the Jordan had already been given to the family of Machir, because he was a great warrior. Machir was Manasseh's oldest son and was the father of Gilead. Verse 2. Land on the west side of the Jordan was allotted to the remaining families within the tribe of Manasseh: Abiezer, Helek, Asriel, Shechem, Hepher, and Shemida. Verse 3. However, Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, who was a descendant of Manasseh, Machir, and Gilead, had no sons. Instead, he had 5 daughters. Their names were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Verse 4. These women came to Eleazar the priest, Joshua, son of Nun, and the Israelite leaders, and said, quote, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance along with the men of our tribe, unquote. So Joshua gave them an inheritance along with their uncles, as the Lord had commanded. Verse 5. As a result, Manasseh's inheritance came to 10 parcels of land, in addition to the land of Gilead and Bashan across the Jordan River. Verse 6. Because the female descendants of Manasseh received an inheritance along with the male descendants. The land of Gilead was given to the rest of the male descendants of Manasseh. Verse 7. The boundary of the tribe of Manasseh extended from the border of Asher to Michmethat, which is east of Shechem. Then the boundary went south from Michmethat to the people living near the spring of Tapuah. Verse 8. The land surrounding Tapuah belonged to Manasseh, but the town of Tapuah on the border of Manasseh's territory belonged to the tribe of Ephraim. Verse 9. From the spring of Tapuah, the border of Manasseh followed the northern side of Cana Ravine to the Mediterranean Sea. Several towns in Manasseh's territory belonged to the tribe of Ephraim. Verse 10. The land south of the ravine belonged to Ephraim, and the land north of the ravine belonged to Manasseh, with the Mediterranean Sea forming Manasseh's western border. North of Manasseh was the territory of Asher, and to the east was the territory of Issachar. Verse 11. The following towns within the territory of Issachar and Asher were given to Manasseh: Beth Shean, Ibleam, Dor, that is Naphoth, Dor, Endor, Taanach, and Megiddo, with their respective villages.
Mm. Do you remember Endor is where Saul went to that witch? Amen?
Amen.
To get counsel from her, and she thought she raised Samuel from the dead, but that didn't happen. She herself was shocked when he came up. She was out of her. She's one of those phony, like, gypsy type witches. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 12. But the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Verse 13. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxen strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. Verse 14. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? Verse 15. And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. Verse 16. And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. Verse 17. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only. Verse 18. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Translation, verse 12 through 18. But the descendants of Manasseh were unable to occupy these towns. They could not drive out the Canaanites who continued to live there. Verse 13. Later on, however, when the Israelites became strong enough, they forced the Canaanites to work as slaves, but they did not drive them out of the land. Verse 14. The descendants of Joseph came to Joshua and asked, quote, Why have you given us only one portion of land, when the Lord has given us so many people? Unquote. Verse 15. Joshua replied, quote, If the hill country of Ephraim is not large enough for you, clear out the land for yourselves in the forest, where the Perizzites and Rephidites live. Unquote. Verse 16. They said, quote, The hill country is not enough for us, and the Canaanites in the lowlands around Beth Shean and the valley of Jezreel have iron chariots. They are too strong for us, unquote. Verse 17. Then Joshua said to the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, the descendants of Joseph, quote, since you are so large and strong, you will be given more than one portion. Verse 18. The forests of the hill country will be yours as well. Clear as much of the land as you wish and live there. And I am sure you can drive out the Canaanites from the valleys too, even though they are strong and have iron chariots. Unquote.
Okay, that was very good reading, Sharon. And now we have some commentary for chapter 17 of Joshua.
17, verse 1. Nacher was Manasseh's oldest son and the father of Gilead. Because he was a military hero, his family received a lush mountainous territory east of the Sea of Galilee. 17, verse 2 through 6. All the names mentioned were sons of Gilead, Numbers 6, verse 29 through 32. Their families received land west of the Jordan. Joshua gave them an allotment along with their male relatives west of the Jordan. 17, verse 7 through 13. These verses describe the territory of Manasseh. It was certainly located between Ephraim on the south and Issachar and Asher on the north. 17, verse 12 through 13. Once again, the Israelites did not follow God's command to, quote, utterly destroy, unquote, the Canaanites. See also chapter 15, verse 63, and chapter 16, verse 10. Instead, they compromised and used their captives as slave labor. Soon they began to co-mingle, and the seeds of dissension were planted. 17, verse 14 through 15. Though they had been given the largest share of land, the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh began to grumble because they wanted more. They felt they could neither clear the forest within their boundaries nor defeat the Canaanites with their advanced weaponry. 17, verse 16, quote, is not enough, unquote. At the last census, Ephraim numbered 32,500. Half of Manasseh was 26,300, a combined total of 58,800. Numbers chapter 26, verse 34 and 37. The population of Dan, Zebulun, and Issachar was much greater, but their territories were considerably smaller. Apparently, Israel judged their portions in terms of the city and its cleared area rather than the size of the land. 17, verse 1 through 6. The daughters of Zelophehad demonstrated true faith in God, believing that he would fulfill his promise of an inheritance to them.
Right. We need to exercise our faith. In other words, to exercising our faith. When you exercise, you do the exercising, right?
Right.
Well, when we exercise faith, the faith does the exercising. They're the slave. Amen?
Amen.
And don't forget, you know, we Jewish people were slaves over in Africa, amen.
Amen,
over in Egypt. Egypt is the northern part of Africa. And, you know, that's the wrong kind of slavery. And I was like a slave. I had to go when I was young to, because I ran away from home. Two of us did. The one boy didn't have to go, and I didn't either. But somehow I wound up going to state to school for boys. And it was the roughest school for boys in the country, according to the people back then. The governor actually shut it down because some of us were actually half beaten to death. And I detest slavery to human beings, except if they're slaving for the Lord. I mean, you know, to go out and witness and testify, just walk in the Spirit. Slavery, as far as working people, nobody works that, has ever worked that hard in our church. Of course, we have to keep the properties and we builded things. But they stated, but we, nobody works that hard in here except we read, pray, and we witness and testify. And if you want to call that work, to me it's a labor of love. Okay, it's not a work thing, but it is called the work of the Lord. And I know that people in the world are working a whole lot worse and more than we are. I've really had to work in my life. And but we need to make faith work for us. Amen?
Amen.
Faith is our slave. Okay, and then what else?
They based their confidence on an earlier ruling by the living God through Moses, which ultimately had come, of course, from God, that gave them their father's inheritance, because he had no sons to receive it. Numbers chapter 27, verse 1 through 7. So the faith of Zelophehad's daughters was rewarded with land. God is the rewarder of faith. The reward may not always come in the form of land or possessions, but it will come in forms that far exceed the temporal values of material goods.
Right. Faith will do whatever you tell it to because it's your slave. It'll come into what he says. Depends on what I'm saying. There is that you may not want land or all these things because you don't, maybe don't want to pay taxes for it, or you don't want to keep it under control. You don't want to hire all kinds of people to mow the lawn or to till the fields or to take care of the trees and all that. But whatever you want, if faith is your slave, the Bible says your slave can get it for you. Amen.
Amen.
And will get it for you. Now, the greatest thing that you can get by your slave is salvation. Amen?
Amen.
And then next in line is healing. And next in line, I would say victory is one of the very, very major things. And we already have the faith, and this, all these have been provided for us. And, of course, we want to be prosperous enough to be able to have food for ourselves and our children. Right? In our church. So just don't doubt that that's ever going to happen. Just make your slave get it for you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And then what?
17, verse 14 through 18. Even though they did not trust God enough to drive out all of their enemies and secure all the land of their inheritance, see chapter 16, verse 10, and chapter 17, verses 12 through 13. The tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh complained that they did not have enough land in which to live. They also complained that the enemies in the land of their inheritance were too strong for them to defeat. Joshua generously granted them their request for additional land, but at the same time told them that they had to fulfill their responsibility to drive out the Canaanites. The erosion of God's best always occurs when our wills interfere with His.
Yeah, or when we start doubting. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
We come to believe that we know so much and then recklessly destroy what God has given us. It's a must that we seek God. It's a must that we seek His will. And it's a must that we seek His power. If we don't, we will spend an eternity compensating for these sins made outside of His will.
All right, praise the Lord. Very good reading, Sharon. And that was Joshua chapter 17, and with 18 verses, commentary. And we also read from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 1 through 10, and brought a message on that, commentary. And until chapter 18, well, you know, definitely meditate on these things. And don't just meditate. Use your slave. Use faith to make it a brighter day today for you and everyone else in this world, and also for tomorrow. But just worry about that today. Don't even worry about it. Just use it today. Amen?
Amen.
And God bless you, and praise the Lord until chapter 18.